live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on another blisteringly hot day here in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, Tuesday, August 11th, 2020. And I'm thrilled to have a first-time guest on the program today. His name is Dale Johnson, Executive Director of the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, also known by its acronym ACBC, and today we are going to be discussing the need for biblical counseling, and we're also going to be announcing the Basics of Biblical Counseling Conference, which is a weekend conference at the end of this month, Friday and Saturday, August 28th and 29th, at High Point Baptist Church of Larksville, PA, which is a suburb of Scarsdale. I keep saying Scarsdale. That's in New York. Scranton, Pennsylvania. I don't know why I keep saying Scarsdale. Larksville is a suburb of Scranton, Pennsylvania. And that conference will be held at the High Point Baptist Church there, which is a church revitalization effort in northeastern Pennsylvania through the Grace Advance Ministry of John MacArthur. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dale Johnson.
Thank you, brother. Really excited to be here with you. Very excited about our topic and looking forward to our conference there in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to meeting you there at the conference. For those of you who have not yet been heard during my daily announcements, I am going to be manning an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio exhibitors booth, God willing, Friday and Saturday, August 28th and 29th at the ACBC conference, which is on the basics of biblical counseling. And if you could, before we have you give your personal salvation testimony, which we always do as a matter of tradition when we have a first-time guest who is also a Christian on this program, before we do that, if you could let us, our listeners, know about ACBC and also about this conference.
Sure. Yeah, happy to do that. We are looking forward to being there with you guys in Pennsylvania. Our ACBC is an organization that was begun about 45 years ago, started out of Westminster Seminary through a man named Jay Adams and several of his colleagues there. And essentially what they wanted to do was they wanted to start a teaching ministry to be able to get Christ back into counseling and counseling back in the church. And along with that teaching ministry, they started to see growth in it, and they started to see churches excited about seeing the Bible, seeing the scriptures brought back into the counseling room, seeing Jesus as the primary focus of counseling ministry and the means of seeing people healed. And so when we talk about ACBC, ACBC became a way in which they were able to account for and certify biblical counselors, people who desired to do this type of ministry in local churches, because they started to see this grow and they wanted to see, well, who's been getting training through our ministry here. And so ACBC became the certifying ministry out of Westminster Seminary, out of the ministry of Jay Adams. And so we've been around for 45 years, thankfully, and the Lord continues to bless and grow, not just in the USA, but also around the world. We're seeing some incredible movement where people are hungry. We're seeing churches that are hungry. They're seeing some of the plights and problems that exist in the world. They're seeing the emptiness of the world systems to try and fix and repair the problems that people face. And it's exciting to see that the scriptures, people are hungry for the scriptures to find themselves renewed once again.
Yes, and the sessions at this conference at the end of this month include the need for biblical counseling, which is our topic for today, the definition and goal of biblical counseling, progressive sanctification, qualifications of a biblical counselor, secular and integration theories, what makes biblical counseling biblical, and a Q&A session with the audience conducted by Dale Johnson. And if you would like more details on how to register, go to biblicalcounseling.com/Scranton, Scranton-PA-training. That's biblicalcounseling.com/Scranton-PA-training. And you can also find out more information about the venue of this conference, High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, by going to highpointbaptist.church, highpointbaptist.church, and hopefully we will remember to repeat this information throughout the program today. Well, as I already hinted, since our guest today, Dale Johnson, is a first-time guest, we are going to have him now give a summary of his salvation testimony, which will include the kind of religious atmosphere, if any, he was raised in, and what kind of providential circumstances our sovereign Lord raised up in his life to draw him to himself and save him. Dale, if you could.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to talk about the story. And I grew up in a solid Christian home. My parents were solid believers, took me to church regularly every Sunday. We were hearing the Word of God. I grew up in a place where it wasn't as theologically astute. I have since grown and learned a tremendous amount, but I will have to say that the Lord used the preaching of the Word. I can distinctly remember at the age of 11, I came to faith in the Lord Jesus, hearing a salvation message, hearing the gospel preached, which I'd heard many, many times. But for some reason that night, the Lord awakened my heart, awakened my mind. I don't think I could articulate it, certainly at 11. But then understanding fully, as I've gotten older, exactly what the Lord did to save me. In those moments, hearing the word preached, just recognizing my own sinful heart. I was a good, decent kid, but the Lord helped me to see, even at age 11, at a very young age, to see my need for Him and that Jesus was the only way to salvation. And so I repented of my sin. I trusted in the Lord, put my faith in Him. What's been encouraging to me is that even after age 11, even though I didn't understand fully all that the Lord was doing in my heart and mind, awakening my heart and mind, He's continued to allow me to grow and to help me to understand the fullness of when He regenerated my heart exactly now, the blessing, the fullness of what He has done in my life. And I continue to grow in high school and college. The Lord was faithful to me and gave me a heart and a desire to pursue Him, and I was faithful to that, and praise the Lord for that. He kept me consistently in the Word, and I grew a tremendous amount in college. The Lord used several different ministry opportunities then to solidify His call of ministry in my heart, and began to pursue that once I graduated college. And so the Lord has been very, very kind to me. Very, very good to me, and so I'm just so grateful for His salvation. I wake up grateful for that every single day.
Praise God. Well, what was it specifically, if you can pinpoint something or several things, that the Lord used to reveal to you, hey, I really need to pursue being trained to become a biblical counselor?
Yeah, that's a great question. I went to college. I went to college to play baseball. That was really my goal. I grew up playing baseball as a kid, and wanted to pursue that. And when I got to college, I was pursuing a business degree because that's what everybody else was doing. I had no idea the direction I wanted to go exactly.
And by the way, brother, can I just interrupt you for a second? If you could, sometimes your voice gets muffled, so if you could make sure you're speaking directly into the mouthpiece of whatever device you're using, that would be helpful.
Sure. And so when I was in college, I was pursuing business. That's what everybody else was doing. And so what I chose to do was say, you know what, I'm not cut out for this. I'm not really good at economics. And so what I think I should do is I should go pursue psychology. I like people. That's kind of what I want to pursue. So I began taking courses in psychology. And as I'm sitting in those courses, not knowing any different, I began to learn about some of these secular theories. And again, the Lord saved me at a young age. The word was taught to me. I had hidden the word in my heart. And I began to see, you know what? The person that the secular psychologists are describing is not the same person that the Bible describes. And I began to be curious about that. And I asked a local pastor one day, we were having lunch, and he said, you know what? With some of your questions, I have a guy that you need to read. And so he gave me a book by Jay Adams. And I began to read that, and Jay began to articulate so many of the questions that I had. He began to articulate answers to those from the scriptures, identifying people and their problems in a way that seculars could not explain. And so that began to flourish in my heart and mind later as a junior, once the Lord called me to ministry, and my future wife and I decided that that's the direction we were going to go. We went looking for a seminary that taught biblical counseling because I wanted to pursue serving people in that way. And so that's exactly what we did in preparation for ministry.
And I'm sorry if you already mentioned this, but what was the seminary that you found that did this?
So at the time, I went to Southeastern Baptist Seminary. They're in Wake Forest, North Carolina.
Oh, and that's where they had this training for the biblical counselor.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's correct.
Okay, great. Our major theme is the need for biblical counseling, but I think before that, you should probably define specifically what you mean and what ACBC means by biblical counseling, because, as you are fully aware, the spectrum of theology and philosophy and views of counseling and implementation of counseling is very broad in modern-day evangelicalism. In fact, I have, in my decades of being a Christian, I was saved in the 1980s, I have encountered men who are identified as Bible-believing conservative evangelicals who are also counselors, who, in further investigation onto what they believed, discovered, sadly, some very bizarre and weird things that they were teaching people in counseling sessions. And so just because somebody identifies as a Christian counselor, hangs a shingle on the door that says we provide Christian counseling, they might even use the term biblical, but sure, it's really far from that. Or it might be obviously a wide spectrum of views and approaches and philosophies of counseling that are present, some closer to the truth than others. But if you could specifically address what you mean by biblical counseling and how it stands in contrast to other theories.
Yeah, happy to do that. And we're gonna flesh this out even to greater detail at the conference that you mentioned before there in Scranton. So I'll give a definition. I'll just simply read it, a definition that we worked up that we try to operate out of. And in this definition, which I'll be fleshing out, is we try to describe the nature of biblical counseling, what I call the goal of biblical counseling, and then brief sort of 30,000-foot view of the method. And so when I talk about biblical counseling is the personal discipleship ministry of God's people to others under the oversight of God's church. It's dependent upon the authority and sufficiency of God's Word through the work of the Holy Spirit. Biblical counseling seeks to reorient desires, affections, thinking, and behaviors toward a God-designed anthropology in an effort to restore true worship of God and right fellowship with others. This is accomplished by speaking the truth in love and applying Scripture to the need of the moment by comforting the suffering and calling sinners to repentance, thus working to make them mature as they abide in Jesus Christ. Several really key points that I think distinguishes when we describe biblical counseling, what we mean is we're describing that we understand people from the perspective of the Bible, and we believe the Bible is sufficient to help us discern what those problems are, how we're struggling with those problems, and then how to repair those problems. And that's really critical, a critical distinction. As you mentioned before, so many people do, they call themselves biblical counselors or even Christian counselors. And often what they mean is that they are proclaiming Christ, they are Christian themselves, but they're utilizing all sorts of secular theories and often in our modern day, more of an eclectic type methodology. It's sort of, well, we don't think that this methodology is sinful, so we'll adapt this. So they're doing it from a personal confession that they are a Christian, but it doesn't mean that the methods that they're using are distinctly Christian. Often, they're from secular theorists. They're from naturalists who have proposed different views about man, and so they have different aims and goals. One of the reasons we wanted to write such a definition like this and try to begin to teach about that is because you're exactly right. In the modern world that we live in right now, there's so much confusion that's coming out about what biblical counseling is distinctly. We make a declaration that we believe that the church is a proper authority. And by that, what we mean is that this type of counseling and intensive discipleship should happen under the true authority, the true auspice of the local church that God granted to the church in the scriptures. It shouldn't be something that is regulated by the government from a secular perspective. It's something that should be overseen by the church with proper authority that God has given to the elders of the church. In Hebrews 13:17, for example, the Lord makes very clear that we as believers in Christ at our local church, we're called to obey our elders, but then further after that, he describes that elders are supposed to watch over our souls, and it goes on to say that they will give an account to the Lord for how they do that. So we see the responsibility of caring for people's souls is placed in the lap of the church, and so what we want to do is to encourage people to operate under using the sufficiency of Scripture and the relationships that God has given us in the church through the work of the elders, and then also every Christian being a minister, every Christian doing one another's to each other. That's a part of the process of discipleship and growing and intensive counseling that happens. So those are some distinctions that we believe this ought to happen under the authority of the local church. We believe the word is sufficient. The Scriptures makes very clear that God has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 17, that he's given us his inspired word. And for what purpose? That every single word we can be equipped by this word that he's given to us. And so we believe the word is sufficient to accomplish that work in us and through us as we deal with a myriad of human problems. And primarily the way that we think about doing that is helping people walk through the process of sanctification. One of the critical things, Chris, that I see consistently about counseling that's so important is we see a removal of an understanding of sanctification, and we see a removal of the biblical work of the Holy Spirit when we talk about human change. And so a lot of secular theorists, even people who claim to be Christian counselors, they often dismiss the true work of the Holy Spirit in the person's life by the word. And what we want to emphasize is that the Holy Spirit is the agent of change, that he is the one by the word, which we call the sword of the Spirit, that he does work in the inner man that changes us from the inside out. And those are some primary distinctions when we talk about methodology. Methodology is not something that's simply neutral. It should come and flourish out of proper theology and proper understanding of who man is according to God's word. So those are some key distinctions that will help people to discern if something is truly biblical counseling or just under the guise of Christian counseling.
Well, I want to give our listeners our email address. If you would like to join us on the air with a question of your own for Dale Johnson, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please, as always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter, and obviously I could readily understand a theme like this evoking questions from those that have very personal, private, and intimate things that are troubling them that they need to ask our guest about. And so we will obviously allow you to remain anonymous if that is indeed the case. But I would ask if you please to please, if it's just a general question on counseling, if you would give us at least your first name, city and state, and country of residence. This interview is also a reminder to me that I've got to get a hold of Jay Adams to have him return to this program. It's been many years since he's been a guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I've got to get him back on if the Lord opens up that door. He wrote a very nice endorsement for this program, and looking forward to the possibility of getting him back on the air. We do have already a listener question from CJ in Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York. And CJ says, I know a pastor who is a very close friend of mine who has repeatedly told me that he does not provide biblical counseling at his church because of the very reasons that you stated. Biblical counseling is important, ironically, in that the Bible is our sufficient, inerrant guide and authority, and that anyone sitting under the regular preaching and teaching of the Word of God and also studying it regularly, not only in formal settings of Bible study, but in private individual study, should not need any additional counseling. How do you respond to that?
Well, I think that's unfortunate in part because all of us need relationships. We need encouragement. As a preacher preaches the word, as a pastor preaches the word, we trust that the Spirit of God is going to convict hearts. And through that process, one of the pieces of the puzzle that God has given us in the relationship of the church is He's given us each other that we can edify one another, we can encourage, we can correct one another in that process. And so we see the process of discipleship is necessary. And when we talk about counseling, counseling is simply that. It's an intensive opportunity now for discipleship. And what should be happening consistently in the body is the process of discipleship. I believe discipleship is critical and key for the satisfying of the soul as we find ourselves in Christ, now growing in Christ in sanctification. And so when a pastor preaches, it's so important that we see that the word is going to be effectual in people's hearts. It is going to bring edification, it's going to bring encouragement, but it's also going to bring conviction. And so in that conviction, where does that person go? Okay, I know I'm not obeying the Lord in this way, now what do I do? They need people who will come alongside them and to walk with them. Or if a person is going through some sort of really difficult trauma in life or difficult situations in life, knowing where to get counsel, how to navigate those difficult situations. God didn't ask us to live a lonely life. He asked us to live in relationship and in community with one another. And so to me, it's absolutely critical. A further step that I would take when talking to pastors, that it's very important that pastors see that their role is not just simply standing behind a pulpit and preaching. As important as that is, and I do not at all want to minimize that, that is absolutely critical as a call and a command of God in Scripture, Acts chapter 6, and so on. But we also see it's so important for pastors to shepherd their people. And what shepherding means, take Jesus as an example. Jesus didn't remain in heaven. He came to earth to dwell among us. Jesus' type of ministry was a ministry where he was looking into the whites of people's eyes. And what that means is it's a personal ministry as well, where we're learning to do personal ministry of the word one-on-one and making application of the scripture to that individual person's struggle and difficulty as a means of healing, as a means of growth, as a means of correction, whatever the case might be. And so having someone like a pastor or elders in the church who can encourage, who can help them grow, who will walk alongside them is very critical. A corollary point to that I think is important is it enhances a pastor's preaching, because when he's walking alongside folks who are having difficulty in his church, and he's able to utilize the Word, it gives him confidence in the Word when he sees the Word is effectual in their heart and mind. Further, when he's making application points when he's preaching, I think he can do that more pointed because he understands his people. He knows what they think. He knows what their struggles are, and he can make really healthy application of the Word. So I think what it does is it builds a fullness in ministry where we see that the pastor is preaching faithfully, praise God for that, but he's also doing personal ministry of the Word where he's shepherding his people and guiding them with the Scriptures in the difficulties of life.
Amen, and thank you, CJ, from Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York, and I'm going to add a couple of my own thoughts when we return from our first station break. If anybody else would like to join CJ on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Dale Johnson after these messages from our sponsors.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to ptlbiblerebinding.com. That's ptlbiblerebinding.com.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors.
It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back, Chris. I always enjoy our time. I have to say you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
you don't have to owe me anything, so we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself. Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at IronSharpensIronRadio.com.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformed.com. hopereformedally.net. That's hopereformedally.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's leesdrugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen, and our guest today is Dale Johnson, Executive Director of ACBC, which stands for the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors. And we are discussing the need for biblical counseling on our program today. And in fact, we're also promoting a conference where Dale Johnson is speaking at the end of this month, Friday night, August 28th, and Saturday all day until 5 p.m., the 29th of August. I will be there, God willing, manning an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio exhibitors booth. I hope as many of you listening will join me there, whether you have to take a plane, a train, an automobile, a parachute, however you need to get to Scranton, Pennsylvania, to attend this conference. I hope that you will attend and greet me at the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio exhibitors booth. Once again, our email address, if you have questions for Dale Johnson today, is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And as always, give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private answer. And what I was going to say in response also to CJ from Lindenhurst, Long Island's question and comment, for those of you who just tuned in, he knows a pastor very well who does not practice or provide biblical counseling outside of his own preaching and teaching ministry from the pulpit and outside of public Bible studies, and sees no need for them outside of those things and also the personal study of individuals. I think that caricature of what sola scriptura and the sufficiency of scripture is not healthy. And if you were really to take that logic to its logical conclusion,
this pastor wouldn't even need to preach. He would just get up to a pulpit and read the Bible, and then after he was finished reading the passages that he intended to read, he would just sit down and dismiss everyone, or dismiss everyone and sit down. would you say that there's some accuracy in what I just said about that kind of a caricature about the sufficiency of Scripture?
I think that's certainly the case, and I understand pastors feel pressure. They're busy. They have a lot of work to do, and I think that's a faulty way of thinking about pastoring and shepherding. Is their job is simply to preach? So I do think there's something to that caricature, and I think that's unfortunate because just like Jesus, as Jesus taught and spoke, he also needed time with his disciples. They had a lot of questions after parables and after things that he spoke, where they needed to learn from him, to be able to grow, to be able to be strong and walk strong in the faith. And so I think it's just equally as important for us that we help people to walk and trust the Scriptures, especially as they're trying to navigate. If they're a young believer, certainly they're having difficulty walking through life and struggling even to understand what the Scriptures may say so that they can obey. So I think it does. Not just simply because it makes sense, it's an example of what Jesus gave us, but also the Scriptures teach that. The passage that I mentioned earlier from Hebrews 13, 17 actually calls elders to take intensive care of their soul, of the souls of the people that they're charged to oversee. So it's an intentional walking alongside people to check in on them to see how they're doing. So I would encourage pastors to engage in that type of ministry with the word.
And we have Ronald in Eastern Suffolk County, Long Island, New York, who asks, how do you respond to the criticism of biblical counseling that it is too much of an imitation of the world's methods of counseling, even if it is using the Bible alone as its narrative, as its inerrant guide? And what I mean by that is a clinical, sterilized atmosphere is often replicated where people are sitting in waiting rooms having these scheduled appointments with counselors for a session and then paying sometimes hefty fees for them. How do you respond to those that are not only opposed to this model but even angry about it?
Yeah, Chris, that's a very good question. And I think we should always be cautious at us trying to mimic the things that the world does. Honestly, the church has been good at trying to mimic what the world does, which is unfortunate and scary. So I agree with the questioner that we have to be cautious and pay very close attention to the ways in which we go about doing ministry. Let me make sort of a distinction here about biblical counseling that's very important in the process of understanding biblical counseling. Is when you think about clinical counseling or professional counseling, each of those counselors who are licensed by their individual states have to follow regulations. There are codes of ethics that they have to follow. And part of that is them being very aware of what's called the therapeutic relationship, not engaging in other relationships with the counselee outside of the counseling room. And as your questioner mentioned, being very sterile in the approach inside the counseling room, that's something that's quite foreign, I would say, to biblical counseling. In part because we're called to walk alongside people, knowing that as a biblical counselor, we're in the same disposition as so many of the people that we counsel. We are people who are live in the flesh. We struggle with sin. We live in a world that's troubled. Jesus promised that we would be in difficulty and trouble. The only thing at that point that makes us a quote unquote expert is that hopefully and prayerfully we're walking in maturity in the faith and we're able to walk alongside and guide someone. But having a relationship with somebody, that that's necessary in order to disciple them intensely, for them to know that you love them well and that you can speak edifying words, but sometimes often correcting words to them. And so that takes more of an intimate relationship, and I would say that counseling that is done in a more sterile atmosphere is very unhealthy, and I would argue it's an unbiblical view of the way relationships should really look like, even in the counseling room. And so I think that's something we have to be, you know, cautious of and prepared for specifically. And be aware, be cautious not to fall into that sterile mentality, and not to try and adopt and think that the secular world does everything perfectly and appropriately. We have to be wise in the way in which we approach people from the scriptures, and that's what dictates even our methodology, even the way in which we practice. So good question, and I think that's wise for us to be paying attention to. We certainly don't want to just mimic what the secular clinical professional world is doing. What we're trying to do in the counseling room is to shepherd people. We're trying to care for them well. We're trying to love them with deep relationship as we talk them through the scriptures and the things that will be helpful for them.
Now, if we were going to narrow in on one aspect of the question that we just heard about the charging a fee, is that appropriate for a church to have on staff a counselor that charges individuals for being counseled?
Yeah, that's a good question, and even among biblical counselors, there's been quite a tremendous debate. In our standard of conduct, we ask that, because in the early days, let me give a brief history. In the early days, people would say, no, we should absolutely not charge for counseling. There has been some shift in saying, well, if we pay people to do ministry, we have others who would engage in biblical counseling, and aren't they worthy of some sort of, you know, wage to some degree. So I think that's an understandable thing. We have basically written out in our standard of conduct for any of our counselors that that counsel should never be refused based on some sort of fee. So in other words, even if you do charge a fee, you should never limit the ability for someone to come to you for counseling if they can't pay. So that's a part of our standard of conduct that we require our counselors to sign. In addition to that, we make very clear that no one should charge any exorbitant fees at all. I was fortunate enough in a place where I started the counseling ministry that our church covered my salary, and so we offered counseling for free to anyone who would come. And so ideally, my personal opinion is I appreciate when we can offer counseling completely for free. I do understand that some people, in order to do that type of ministry, they have to make a living and that sort of thing. But I would never want it to be something that is hindering to another person when they're hurting and they need help. It should never hinder a person from receiving that type of counsel.
John in Bangor, Maine says, is your approach to biblical counseling the same as what was called, and still may be called in some circles, nouthetic counseling, a phrase coined by J. Adams? And if so, how do you respond to the harsh criticisms against nouthetic counselors who seem to accuse every single person who is going through a trial in their life of having their own personal sin as the core of the problem? Now, I understand that the fall of Adam and sin in general in this world is the cause for everything that is a problem, is the cause for every reason that we find ourselves in unpleasant circumstances and things that bring us difficulty and sorrow. But there are some who have complained that they are always accused of their sin being the problem, and it seems to at points resemble too much the Word of Faith movement, who would do the same thing for physical ailments.
Yeah, so the idea of nouthetic, they certainly coined that term, and that is the movement that ACBC was born out of. And I think nouthetic is absolutely an appropriate, very biblical term to be used. First, let me say, I think that oftentimes biblical counselors get an unhealthy reputation, you know, in this idea of nouthetic, that they're highly confrontational and that sort of thing. I think some of that is unfortunate. I'll talk just in a second about some of J. Adams' works that if you've read those, it really dispels some of the ideas of the harshness. Now, I do have to recognize that there are some counselors under the guise of biblical counseling, you know, who act in that way, who are somewhat harsh. And so I can't deny the fact that some people have experienced that. But that's not the way of Christ, in my opinion. So what I would say is that nouthetic is one aspect of what it means to counsel biblically. What Jay was trying to recover in his day was he was trying to fight against things like Carl Rogers, who was person-centered, non-confrontational whatsoever at all. So he sees in the scripture this idea of nouthetēo, which is basically a laying truth upon the mind of a person. It's a confronting of the truth toward a person. And so he sees that in several different places, Romans 15:14, and several places in the scriptures, where he says, you know what, if we are Bible believers, then we can't follow the way that pastoral care is going right now, following Carl Rogers and trying to do person-centered. The Bible calls us to take the Word of God and to lay the truth of God upon the minds of people. And so that's the idea of nouthetic. Now, we see very clearly that we are not only called to confront or admonish, as that word is often translated, but we are called to edify and to encourage. We are called to rejoice with people who are rejoicing. We are called to weep with people who are weeping. So what we see from a biblical counselor appropriately, and I would say the nouthetic style as well, is we see someone who is primarily compassionate toward the individual, but willing to love them, to speak difficult truths to that person when necessary and when appropriate. I was just writing a chapter, and I was dealing with some of Jay's writings. And in this chapter, I was talking about chronic illness. And I've heard all of the criticisms of nouthetic counseling and some of Jay's works and that sort of thing, about his harshness and so on. And, you know, Chris, I was reading through, preparing to write this chapter, and I saw something in Jay that so many people don't recognize, because many people who have those criticisms of Jay and nouthetic counseling haven't read much of Jay, to be honest. And I was reading widely. He wrote over 100 books widely in Jay's works. It was a tremendous thing for me to see how much he talks about suffering as well as sin, and acknowledging that these are the two difficulties that we face in the world that has been cursed by sin. And so it was encouraging to me to see, you know what, some of these criticisms about Jay being harsh, they're unfounded, because even in Jay's works, he talks about how we deal with folks who are suffering. Now, I think it's important for us to understand that for us as human beings who have flesh and who struggle with sin, that it's always appropriate for us to examine our hearts. Matthew 7 makes that very clear. Even when offense comes up from another person, we still want to examine our heart over and against the Word. I think that's the disposition of humility, is we want to examine, is there sin in my own heart first? Because that's the only way that I can move to help another person, as the language of Matthew 7 continues, getting the log out of my own eye. So I think that is a disposition and sort of a first order is absolutely appropriate.
In fact, can we pick up right there where you left off, because we have to go to our midway break right now?
Sure.
And folks, just as a reminder, this is our longer than normal break, the midway break, because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of the show, because the FCC requires of them the localizing of Iron Sharp and Zion Radio to Lake City, Florida. So while they air their own public service announcements and other local announcements, we air our globally heard commercials during the midway break, and we ask of you to use this time wisely. Please write down as much of the information as you possibly can for as many of our advertisers as you can, so that you can more frequently and successfully patronize them or even respond to them to thank them for advertising with us. This may, God willing, further ensure that these sponsors will remain our advertisers, which will also subsequently, God willing, further ensure that we will remain on the air for a longer future, because we absolutely rely upon our advertisers to exist. So always keep that in mind when you're hearing advertisements, that these fine folks who believe that we are valuable enough to spend money on advertising, that they are enabling us to even exist. So we thank all of you who do respond to our advertisers. And I hear from Mike Gadosh of Solid Ground Christian Books, for instance, regularly, who raves about how many of you are ordering books from him, and he's very grateful and very thrilled to see the results from advertising in Iron Sharpens Iron. So please do that, and also write down questions about biblical counseling for our guest Dale Johnson, and send them to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and don't go away. God willing, we'll be right back after these messages with more of Dale Johnson and the need for biblical counseling.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so, and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World Now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. I also want to congratulate Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram for the recent appointment of Pastor Rich Jensen's co-elder, Pastor Christopher McDowell. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net, or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations.
They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981. 717-697-1981. Or visit SolidRockRemodeling.com. That's SolidRockRemodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402. Or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead.
Banu Gadi earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gadi so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gadi. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please don't forget, folks, to make solid-ground-books.com your very first stop for all your gift-giving needs, whether it be for birthday presents, whether it be for wedding anniversaries, whether it be for back-to-school gifts, retirement gifts, bereavement gifts,
no matter what the occasion may be, and whether you're giving these gifts to Christians or the lost, please go to solid-ground-books.com as your first stop for gift-giving needs. And remember, as I said, don't only give your Christian friends books from solid-ground-books.com, because the lost friends that you have in your life and the lost family members you have in your life may be brought to Christ by reading a book from Solid Ground Christian Books. So please remember both the lost and the saved in your life, and go to solid-ground-books.com for all your gift-giving needs, and also, obviously, to replenish your own library and to edify your own self and your family. And always tell them that you heard about them from Chris Arnson and Iron Trump and Zion Radio. Before I return to our discussion with Dale Johnson on the need for biblical counseling, just have some important announcements to make. First of all, I want to repeat the information for the upcoming biblical counseling conference that's being held in Scranton, Pennsylvania, at the High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, a suburb of Scranton. And that's going to be Friday and Saturday, the 28th and 29th of August. It starts Friday night and then continues all day Saturday until 5 p.m. I will be there, God willing, manning an Iron Trip and Zion Radio exhibitors booth, so I hope you join me there. The lectures that Dale Johnson will be conducting include the need for biblical counseling, the definition and goal of biblical counseling, progressive sanctification, qualifications of a biblical counselor, secular and integration theories, what makes biblical counseling biblical, and a Q&A session with the audience. For further details, go to biblicalcounseling.com/Scranton, that's Scranton, PA-training. That's biblicalcounseling.com/Scranton-PA-training. And you can also go to the website of High Point Baptist Church of Larksville, Pennsylvania, the venue for this conference, which is highpointbaptist.church, highpointbaptist.church. Also, folks, if you love this show and you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, please go to ironsharpandzionradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card by doing that. We are in urgent need of your donations because we have lost our two largest financial supporters during the COVID-19 pandemic hysteria. The two supporters had businesses that were very seriously impacted by the coronavirus hysteria, and therefore we have suffered a great loss. We're hoping that this is just a temporary hesitation for them to give further, as they always did, but we don't know that for certain yet. So please help us make up for that loss. Go to ironsharpandzionradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. And you could also send in a check via snail mail if you prefer. I'm mailing a check made out to Iron Trip and Zion Radio to the address that will appear on your screen when you click support at ironsharpandzionradio.com. You can also advertise with us as long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what we believe. You don't have to believe identically with me, but you need to be promoting something that is at the very least compatible with what we believe. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Please, folks, never siphon money away from your regular giving that you're accustomed to your local church in order to give to Iron Sharp and Zion Radio. Please don't take money out of your church's collection plate, in other words, to give to us. And also, please never put your own family in financial jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharp and Zion Radio. Those two things are commands of Scripture, providing for your family and providing for your church. Providing for Iron Trip and Zion Radio is obviously not a command of Scripture, but if you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, you have extra money that you've been saving because you haven't been going out during the quarantining, perhaps, for fine dining. You haven't been going to your favorite sporting events. You haven't been going to concerts. You haven't been going to the movies. You haven't been going to theatrical performances at theaters and playhouses. You haven't been going to Bible conferences. Well, if you've been saving money because of those quarantining situations, and you have extra money that you can help us with, well, please use some or all of that money, if you love the show and don't want it to disappear, by going to ironsharpandzionradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Also, folks, if you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church and you're not prayerfully seeking for one, Please rectify that situation. I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the planet Earth, and I have helped many people in our audience all over the world find churches near them that they didn't even know existed that are faithful to the Scriptures. So if you are in that predicament where you don't have a church home that's biblically faithful and you don't know where to find one, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. I may be able to help you find one, even if you're just going on vacation and need to find a good church wherever it is that you're traveling, or if you need to recommend a good church to family, friends, and loved ones who may not have a church home, I may be able to help them as well. chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in questions to Dale Johnson, the executive director of ACBC, the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, our guest today. And that email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And I'm sorry I had to interrupt you before we went into the midway break, but if you could remember where you left off, and we could pick up from there.
Yeah, Chris, we were talking specifically about criticisms against synthetic counseling, particularly the harshness. And, you know, I acknowledge that some people have had that experience, and some counselors, may enact in that way where they're harsh. But I was talking about Jay and his works, and reading the plethora of works that Jay has put out, it's interesting to me to see that there is a balance that he casts between our responsibility as men and women of God to speak the truth to one another in love. And we do that understanding that the primary problem that we as individuals face is our sinful nature, our sinful disposition in life. And that has consequences, and the consequences are myriad. And so making sure that we examine our heart first for issues of sin is not harsh. It's actually a humble response for us to respond in that way. And so so our counselors do attempt to utilize the Scriptures to unveil those types of things that may be in our heart. And David prayed about presumptuous sins and sins that may not even be aware of in intention. But the Bible says that by the work of the Spirit, that He can unveil those things in us. He can help us to see Hebrews 4:12-13. This is what the living and active Word of God does. And so we try to utilize the Word is our goal. We speak the truth is our goal as well, because I believe that's loving. But we speak the truth with compassion and love, as the Scripture commands us in Ephesians 4.
And to go back to a specific aspect of the question, obviously it would be very wise and biblical to rule out one's own unrepentant sin that may be at the very root of a problem, a trial that this person is going through. But as the listener indicated, that nouthetic counselors have been accused, and of course not every nouthetic counselor or one that claims to be is a cookie cutter of somebody who also identifies that way, but the accusation has been that it's always a matter of somebody's active personal sin, not just a trial created by the fall in general and the fact that sin exists in the world.
Right.
But that this person is without question, if he is having difficulty in his life in a trial of some kind, is always involving his own personal sin. Number one, do you think that that's an accurate accusation that some make? And number two, is that something that you would advocate?
Definitely, I'll answer the second one first. I would definitely not advocate for that, because the Bible makes very clear that we have troubles of all sorts and all kinds. Sometimes we suffer and experience difficulty because of things in the natural world. We lose a loved one, or we get in a car accident, or COVID-19 happens and our bank account goes southward, and we have offenses against one another and that sort of thing. So we encounter troubles of all sorts and all kinds. I would say that all the problems that humanity has are not because of their own personal sin. They are, in fact, because of the brokenness of the world and what I call corporate sin, because of the fall of man and sin entered into the world and the curse that's on sin. And that's what creates the the havoc that we see in the world that we have to deal with. And so we have to engage people in their suffering. And those are moments where the scriptures command our disposition toward people who struggle like that. It's weeping with those who weep and being compassionate, strong, walking with them through the process of their suffering and upholding their arms, providing for them, whatever the case might be, to help them walk through this issue. I do think, I can't deny that people have experienced, biblical counselors being harsh. So I don't want to deny someone's experience. But I will say I think that that's an unfair criticism, because even from the beginning, that's certainly not what is being taught now, but even from the beginning with Jay, you read his books and you see a balance where he wants us to probe specifically the areas of sin. He allows the Word to unveil that, and that's a critical piece of the puzzle for us to do. But to say that that's always the case, I think that that's an unfair criticism.
Yes, and as much as Jay Adams and every reformed Christian, theologically reformed Christian, or biblically sound Christian in general, would be very opposed to the Word of Faith movement as a heresy, which would teach that if your faith is adequate, if your faith is strong enough, you will never be sick. As much as we would radically oppose that as a wicked and even satanic heresy, at the same time, it would be wise for you to do some soul-searching, reflect upon your life, and to rule out if a unrepentant sin is the cause in some way of your illness, even physically. So that would really just carry through in the same way for a mental issue or a trial of other kinds that requires counseling, right?
Chris, I would agree. I think you look at something like James chapter 5, where we're told that if any of us are sick, we're to come before the elders of the church and to ask for prayer. I mean, and that is helping to rule out. He's not saying, the scripture's not saying there that our sickness is because of sin, but he does tell us to not dismiss the spiritual reality that could be contributing to that. A second point that I would add to what you said is a denial of the Word of Faith movement. When you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that's a critical passage that helps us to see that even when our body is wasting away, as sin has infected and affected our bodies and we're wasting away, the Bible still says that we can be renewed in our inner man day by day. And that's a critical distinction and difference that the Word of Faith doesn't teach. Actually, our faith can grow amid that suffering. That's, again, James chapter 1, 2 and following, where he tells us to consider our trials and struggles, that we could be strengthened by walking through that difficulty. So that's completely opposite of what the Word of Faith describes. But when these trials come, we want to pay attention to how do we respond. Do we respond in ways that are God-honoring and glorifying, or do we respond in ways that are earthly? And those things all have to be tamed by the Scripture as we seek as believers to respond to any given situation that we have in a way that's honoring to the Lord.
We have an anonymous listener who asks, I have personally heard the accusation from those that profess to be advocates of nouthetic counseling that I should never use medication for depression or anything else that is a problem in my life due to mental issues. I have heard that there is no such thing as a nervous breakdown, and I have heard that there is no reason that counseling coming from the Bible isn't the only way to help solve issues involving the mind. Is this really the way that nouthetic counseling operates, or is this just the chosen actions and beliefs of a handful of those out of step with the broader community of biblical counselors?
That's a wonderful question, and it's a very logical question. I think it's a good and very fair question. And I would say, personally, I don't think medication is bad or wrong at any turn. I don't think that that's a common disposition among biblical counselors. I teach, and if you hear me talk about medication, I want people to be very informed about not just medication, but about people's views about psychotropic and the quote-unquote science behind psychotropic medication. So I'm just extremely cautious when we describe those types of medications, and I think that's healthy for a myriad of reasons. We look at the science, the quote-unquote science that we see coming out about psychotropic medication. Is it beneficial? There are so many questions today that even, raise issue with psychotropic medication even being beneficial. We start to get into understanding of, that they could be addictive. We start to get into research that demonstrates that they could actually increase suicidal ideation. And that they could have long-term effects like tardive dyskinesia and akathisia and things like that. So we have to be very cautious when we open up Pandora's box when we talk about medicine. I think we have to be very careful, first of all, to establish that we are, based on the scriptures, we are body and soul. So when we have things that are affecting our inner man, we're going to see physical ramifications. Like, if we're anxious about stuff, it's very normative if we do that over a long period of time that our bodies would respond and we would have reaction to those types of things, where we have heart palpitations or we get sweaty palms or whatever the case might be, or we feel like we can't function, almost paralyzed. But that becomes a chicken or the egg question, right? So is this something that's being caused physically, or is this something that my body is responding to my disposition and what I believe to be real and true about life around me? So I want to explore those types of things. Anytime I engage in with someone who has, deep anxiety or who struggles with deep despair, what I try to do is I want to work with a physician to rule out any type of organic causes. And that's a huge distinction and difference than just assuming the secular chemical imbalance theory, which has been proven to be false, to say that anytime I have despair, feelings of despair or anxious thoughts, the medication is going to be a cure and a fix. That's completely false. What I want to do is get them to a physician who can do a legitimate workup on them and rule out any type of organic causes or contributing factors. And to me, that really helps the person to solidify and understand what's really going on in life. And again, being body and soul, we can't just minimize something that happens in our mind, which is not equivalent to our brain, something that happens in our inner man, and to say it's caused by the biological. In fact, the Bible describes that we operate from the inside out. It's not that we're not affected by the external. We respond to it, that's true. But we operate from the inside out. And what's most important about us is not the things that happen to us. They don't identify who we are. It's how we respond to those things. And those are the things that biblical counselors should be focused on. Is we can't fix or even promise that God will fix your situation, but what we can do is, how do we strengthen you according to the scriptures so that you can respond in a way that's God-honoring and God-glorifying in the middle of this difficulty, in the middle of this trial, in the middle of this suffering of despair and so on. So that's what's critical for us as biblical counselors, not to just simply dismiss medication, because I think there are times when someone is incapacitated or they cannot function in life where it could be a helpful stopgap in very, very small minded cases, but it's not curative. Not one psychiatric medication is curative, and we have to, the common public is often not aware of that. But we can't assume that that's the case, that biblical counselors want to keep you from some medication that's going to cure you. Statistics show somewhere between 25% and 35% of people who are on psychotropic medication actually start to feel better. And so we can't say that this is a one-to-one curative. And, biblical counselors just don't want you to get on that medication because we think that that medication will help you and only the Bible can help you. That's not the mentality at all whatsoever. We want to be able to focus on the things that we know can help you walk through difficulty, the difficulty that you're facing right now, and that's the inner man. So we want to build the inner man, we want to strengthen the inner man, so that we can respond appropriately to trials that are coming our way.
And, of course, there is a sad reality that we who find ourselves dependent often on physicians for the answers to our problems, unfortunately, we have even seen in the media during this coronavirus how often they disagree with each other and how often they have contradicted themselves. So I'm not saying this is going to be easy for folks, but at the same time, people need to be very careful about either themselves going off medication without the supervision of a doctor or recommending that somebody else does, because I know personally people who have plunged into such despair after either going off medication or changing medication that they've attempted suicide. Because of the biochemical reaction to this. Now, this may be because the medication itself created a serious problem in the minds of the patients, but I don't know that for a fact, but I'm just saying that we have to be really cautious about ourselves or the counseling of others too. You got to go off that medication unless a doctor is involved to observe them and to perhaps counterbalance what the reaction is with another medication or whatever the case is. And I know, like I just said, this is not an easy thing because doctors are not God and they do disagree with each other. So how do you respond to what I just said?
No, so I would agree. Anytime we teach about medication, we always give a caveat that as a biblical counselor, you're not a medical professional. And so it's not our role or job to give medical advice. We have to utilize the wisdom that the Lord gives the medical community. But I would also agree with you in the fact that we see, quote-unquote, science in some of these areas is being questioned to a great degree. So much so that I would put much of it in the category of what's considered scientism. And the idea that's behind it, we could go into a long history of a philosophy here as it relates to psychiatric medicine and psychology. But just suffice it to say simply that there are people who have a philosophical agenda, and it relates to the predominant way of thinking of naturalism. And so the way that they approach data from a scientific perspective, when they look at a person who's struggling with depression, if they understand man and boil man down in their philosophical approach to man as being simply naturalistic and that he's a natural being that comes out of evolutionary thinking and thought, then it's a one-to-one correlation for them to say, well, this has to be something that's wrong with their biology. And so we begin to see this psychiatric medicine flourish as an answer because we suppose, based on our secular understanding of anthropology, that if you have this problem, it has to be biologically explained. And that becomes the problem. That's the biggest issue, I think, is we, even in the Christian community, have adopted a faulty anthropology that's been built by the scientist when it's not an unbiased position. It's a biased position that they see the data through the lens of a naturalistic perspective. And so they begin to try to make the data make sense in that perspective. And we have to be cautious when we hear scientists, doctors, describing things from that perspective. And so I think it's worthy for us to be cautious, not to mention the plethora of information that's coming even out of the psychiatric community right now questioning some of the practices of psychiatric medicine. There is a whole movement that you're seeing that's coming out of scientific research right now that questions the findings of psychiatric medicine historically. So we have to be cautious when we're not pitting science and faith against one another. I'm just cautious about folks who look at data from a philosophical disposition that's anti-Christian.
Yes, and I think that there's something that is also unquestionable and irrefutable is that many doctors have over-medicated, over-prescribed medications too freely and quickly, and especially when it comes to children. I think that I have heard horror stories from parents who believe that harm, physical harm and mental harm, has come to their children because They were immediately prescribed drugs for their children just because boys are acting like boys. I mean, our culture, our leftist, anti-Christian, anti-biblical culture has come to despise masculinity and despise anything that resembles the results of testosterone in even a child, and they want to remove anything that reveals a child's energy and activity, and boys being boys, and it's really a nightmarish situation at times. And it's interesting how I saw a Netflix documentary on a physician who actually was making so much money prescribing Oxycontin that she became a full-fledged drug dealer, and her office hours were open till 2 and 3 in the morning, and people were just going to this doctor to purchase Oxycontin and other similar things. And during the documentary, they were interviewing these people who were salesmen and women for the pharmaceutical companies, who were not even people given formal medical training, and they knew more about the drugs than the doctors did.
Right.
So would you agree with that assessment, that people are being overly medicated, and that prescriptions are being too freely written out, especially in the area, perhaps, of children?
Yeah, and I would say that that's not even really opinion. That's pretty commonly held belief by even many who are in the secular psychiatric community. I mean, there are several, just a plethora of books that are demonstrating that. One is by an unbeliever. He was a leading psychiatrist for about 25 years. He actually helped author the DSM-4. He wrote a book called Saving Normal, and he talks about, specifically with children, medication with ADHD and things like that. And so he describes the over medication that happens. And so I'll give you another example. I think your example about masculinity was really a perfect example that shows we're listening to a secular people describe wanting to get rid of this idea of femininity and masculinity from a biblical perspective. And they're trying to use science to describe it. That's not science. That's philosophical. It's scientism. It's similar when we look at medication, when we see this flourishing in our world. One example is the coronavirus pandemic. This was about a month ago. I was looking at statistics, and we've seen an increase of at least 35%, if not upwards of 50%, increase in the prescription of antidepressant medication and anxiety medication. You see, one of the things, Chris, that demonstrates is that this is not something that's just simply biological. This is something that that people are impacted and affected by events that happen around them. When we fear, we respond with anxious thoughts. And so people are trying to now believe the cultural narrative that, well, if I feel like that, it has to be something biologically wrong with me, rather than dealing with the reality that God made us responders to our environment, and when we respond earthly to things, we're going to see some of these manifestations in our heart, like depression, like despair, fear, worry, anxiety. All these things are going to be strong in our responses because of what we're believing to be true about the reality around us. When we're called as believers to walk by faith, and it doesn't mean we don't ever find ourselves fearful. We're earthly creatures, but when we find ourselves in those situations, it's an indication that we need to run to the one who is the rock that is higher than any of us. We're to run to the refuge, the shelter, who is Christ. And that is a constant reminder for we who believe that that's how we need to respond when we start to feel those pressures in life.
And we have to go to our final break right now. It's going to be a lot more brief than the last two breaks. If you intend to send us a question of your own, please do it very quickly because we're rapidly running out of time. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA, and only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Dale Johnson right after these messages from our sponsors.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnson@gmail.com. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead.
Banu Gadi earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gadi so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program. Your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen, our final segment of our interview today with Dale Johnson, Executive Director of the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors. We have Susan Margaret in Dauphin County, Pennsylvania, who asks, have you heard about the 16-year-old boy that was given estrogen for a behavioral disorder while in a Los Angeles, California juvenile hall and the lawsuit that is pending regarding this? This is a very frightening thing to hear, according to the boy and his family, that he was not told what he was forced to take in regard to the estrogen, and his parents were not informed either.
Yeah, and I think that's a perfect example of even what we were discussing earlier, where in the name of science, you have philosophies being promoted that that they look at the data of why this young kid was struggling with behavioral issues, and with the way that they shape how they see the person, how they see the world, is in their worldview, it makes sense that it has to be something that they're struggling with in their identity or something like that. And so it forces them to try and look to solutions like hormones or whatever to repair these problems. The Bible has a completely different worldview. It doesn't deny the fact that we have problems. In fact, I don't deny that we struggle with, feelings of depression and feelings of anxiety and, behavioral problems. And all those things are real in our experience. We experience those things. But the lens by which we see the world then dictates why we think those problems exist and then how we think we're to approach repairing those, and the Bible gives a distinct way of seeing people, describing their problems, the how and why we have these problems, And it always provides Jesus as the answer to those problems and how we respond to life and the way that he encourages us and the way that he changes us, he makes us new, and the way that we look differently at life. Or if we have to wait until the time that he returns or when we die, he is the answer that will make all things right. We'll get a new body. We'll be without sin whatsoever at all. I mean, he will change everything and heal us completely.
And we have an anonymous listener who says, I have a word of warning to all your listeners that the cult known as Scientology very often masquerades as being another organization outside of this cult with different names, and they very often appeal to the sympathies of Christians who are opposed to much of what goes on in the world of psychiatry and psychology. I am saying this as a warning because I know people who have been duped into even inviting speakers from these organizations to speak to their Christian groups and congregations, only to find out that these were representatives of the Church of Scientology. Yes, you know, I can vouch for that person's accuracy because I remember on several occasions years ago being contacted by an organization. I can't remember the front name for the group, but they wanted me to interview their experts who were opposed to the rampant overprescription of drugs and were hitting a lot of the button points that Christians are very concerned about when they hear about the abuses of Freudian and other kinds of secular psychiatry and psychology. And they were trying to dupe me into having this person on my Christian show. And after questioning them laboriously long enough, they finally admitted that they were affiliated with the Church of Scientology. So I can vouch for that. Have you heard anything like that as well?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And those who have been part of Scientology, one for example is a man named Thomas Wallace who wrote from an anti-psychiatry perspective. And so, yeah, I think that's a proper warning. We have to pay attention to who's speaking and what voice that they're articulating and what their end goal is. But I would also say that just because Scientology is latched onto something relative to psychiatric medicine doesn't entirely mean that some of their approach and explanation of the problems in psychiatric medicine are necessarily wrong. I think for us, with Christian wisdom and discernment, what we have to do is say, okay, what is the end goal? Is the end goal, in our case, it would be, we want to see sanctification, we want to see growth, we want to see God honored in the life of this person. So we can look at scientific data more objectively. We don't have to have the baggage of something like Scientology. And I would argue that it's not just Scientologists. It's not relegated to just a small segment of Scientology. They have their own agenda. You have a plethora of psychologists and psychiatrists, mainly from Britain. Part of that has to do with because Britain is not so saturated with the dollars that go into the benefit of the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. And so you're seeing British psychiatrists write heavily and do research heavily against some of the psychiatric medication because they don't stand as much to lose as much as many that we see in the U.S. context. And so we're seeing psychiatrists that are not religiously affiliated do this research and demonstrate some of the concerns with the medication there.
Well, we are out of time, and I want to remind our listeners, if you want to register for the upcoming conference where my guest, Dale Johnson, will be the main speaker, Friday and Saturday, the 28th and 29th of August, in Scranton, Pennsylvania, at the High Point Baptist Church. You can go to the website for the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, and that website is biblicalcounseling.com/Scranton-PA-training, biblicalcounseling.com/Scranton, Scranton-PA-training, and you can also go to the venue's website, that's highpointbaptist.church, highpointbaptist.church. Dale, it has been utterly fascinating. and a true joy to interview you today. And I look forward to your frequent return to Iron Trip and Zion Radio as a guest. I look forward to meeting you face-to-face, God willing, on August 28th and 29th at the ACBC conference on the basics of biblical counseling.
Amen. Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. And thank you so much to your listeners as well. I really enjoyed the conversation.
And I want to thank everybody who listened, and I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far, far greater Savior than you are a sinner.